The next set of survey questions relates to the use of trastuzumab in the adjuvant setting, specifically in patients with smaller node-negative tumors. When asked what they would tell a patient with a 1 centimeter ER-negative HER2-positive tumor about the untreated risk of recurrence, the faculty answers range from a recurrence risk prediction of 10% to 35%, with a mean answer of 25%. Dr. Eric Weiner began the discussion by commenting on decisions for patients with tumors under 5 millimeters and between 5 and 10 millimeters.
There's actually a pretty big difference in terms of the volume of those tumors, and I'll draw a line in the sand at T1A. So yes, that woman with the T1B cancer, I'm going to treat with trastuzumab and some sort of chemotherapy. I actually am not at the point where I'm willing to do that in a patient with a T1A N0 tumor.
Okay, so 0.8 centimeter, but now it's ER positive.
I'm much more on the fence.
Mark?
Bottom line is, it's the trastuzumab that's going to do the lion's share of the work in terms of clinical benefit in these patients that are HER2 positive, not the endocrine therapy. So trastuzumab has to be considered the base from which you are going to formulate further combinations on top of that. If they're ER positive, then it would be reasonable to add endocrine therapy, because though HER2 is a marker for relative endocrine resistance, it doesn't mean that they don't get any benefit from endocrine therapy. They just get less benefit, but they still get some benefit. So for ER positive small tumors, HER2 amplified, I think it would be reasonable to consider an endocrine and HER2-directed combination in the absence of chemotherapy for a small tumor.
In the absence of chemotherapy. Interesting. Aman?
In patients who are HER2 new positive, if the tumor is less than a centimeter, I think the data which was presented is very interesting. The risk of recurrence is proportional to the size of the tumor. And I think we need to discuss with each patient what is their risk without therapy and what is the net benefits and what are the potential risks. And I would say that we discuss this in our planning clinic every week. There is a patient like this. And sometimes we spend 20, 30 minutes talking about that patient. And the bottom line is that we offer these things and the uncertainties to each patient, and let the patient be the active participant in the decision-making. There are patients who says, if it improves my odds by 1%, I am willing to accept all the other things.
What do you think about Mark's idea of in these patients considering trastuzumab without chemo?
I think that is an interesting question. There is no data to support that. I would think that we all think a lot of things should work, but when we put it to test in clinical trials, they don't.
Joe, how do you approach these patients in your practice off study under 1 centimeter HER2 positive?
Well, as I said, we know that if they're HER2 positive, they derive much relatively greater benefit from chemotherapy. And there's no question that they would also derive benefit from trastuzumab. Really, the critical question is at what level of risk do you pull the trigger? And when you pull the trigger, do you pull it twice or do you pull it once? My concern is that if we do pull the trigger, I feel sort of obligated to use chemotherapy in combination with trastuzumab. So I need to make sure that there are circumstances where that's appropriate. There are circumstances where I have given trastuzumab with endocrine therapy alone, and those tend to be older patients who have very high-risk disease, not patients with these smaller tumors.
What about, again, sub-centimeter tumors? Are you generally treating those patients or not?
Yes, absolutely. Again, because they do have higher risk of recurrence, as we know from the Oncotype DX recurrence score. I tend to fall in Eric's camp, and I do draw a line in the sand as T1A or less, where I really say I think we don't really need to go with chemotherapy or trastuzumab in that setting.
Brian, did you present the data from HERA of the impact of ER on recurrence risk in the control arm?
I didn't present it, but I have it.
Well, Brian knows it better than I do, probably. But, I mean, the patients who had node-negative ER-positive tumors in the control arm actually had a lower recurrence risk than those with ER-negative tumors.
By a lot, Eric?
It's a couple of years. And remember, these are somewhat larger tumors. We're not talking about sub-centimeter. In order to get on HERA, you had to have a tumor that was at least a centimeter. Half of those tumors were 1 to 2 if they were node-negative, and half were greater than 2 centimeters. The difference, I think, is 10 versus 18% at 2 years.
It's that kind
so
of
it's
order.
Almost double.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I think that ER may play some role in this decision-making.